All right, everybody up to date on the info. And I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, and that is that, am I a little loud? It sounds a little bit boomy there. I don't want to be boomy because I may boom in a minute and then it'll really blast. So, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks just to let you know, if you miss any of these announcements, be sure to go on to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you'll find the messages from that Sunday. We have also messages archived. You can go back if you missed any messages, download notes, all that kind of things. But also along with the message for each service, you'll find on that same page a link to our to what you just saw, to announcement videos that you can avail yourself of in case you missed any, because we just want you plugged in and involved in being a part of everything that's happening here at Crosspoint. Can I just say today how thankful I am for this church? I love God, but I want to tell you something. I love this church too. And and I just want to say how grateful I am for everyone that serves around here. You know, it's I was coming on the campus this morning and was just taken back by how many cars were already in the parking lot. We have cars in the parking lot, you know, by 8 o'clock a.m. or before, getting ready, rehearsing. We have several meetings. We've already done a lot of stuff around here before you even show up, just to let you know, if you're not on a team. I mean, we get here the band gets here at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have a 9 o'clock prayer time. We have a 9:30 production meeting. We have a 9:45 huddle, and then 10 o'clock, we're ready for you to come in the door. And so just a lot of work that goes on around here. I want to just say thanks to all those that are serving on the Dream Team, all those that are making a difference. And it's just exciting to me as a pastor, because I never believed that a pastor should be like wearing all the hats and being a one-man show. I believe that it should be a team. We are the church. In fact, in the Bible it says that they went. Not one guy went, but they went everywhere and preached the gospel. And so it takes a team. John Maxwell says it's teamwork that makes the dream work. And so I just appreciate this team. Come on, can you just give it up for all the team, the Dream Team that serves here at Crosspoint? So appreciate you. I was even talking with Karen this week, how we're going to be just solidifying and giving some clarity on paper, just of what each leader is supposed to be doing, what we're just coming together, making sure that you're speaking into that as well, helping us to understand what you need to be an effective leader, and we're going to transfer that information then onto the team and how all that relates to them, and we're going to be planning some fun things that are coming up, you know, just to celebrate you and celebrate what God is doing. So I just wanted to say that right up front before we get into the message today. And by the way, today's message is a standalone message. We usually do things in series. You'll find online, you'll see all the series that we do. We're actually going to start a new series next week, but today is a standalone message. So there are no message notes. Come back next week, we'll have message notes, fill in the blank stuff if you like. I think some of you really like that kind of format. We'll be jumping in next week doing that. But today is a standalone, as I believe God is wanting us to kind of just clarify the vision. So if this is your first time here, or you don't really know what we're about, this is a great Sunday for you to be here to kind of catch the vision of what we are doing as a church. I believe that really needs to be communicated on a regular basis to help people understand who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, why we're doing what we are doing. But I do want to encourage you to come back next week as we launch a new series on something that really our ministry is based on. You can hear a little bit about that today. If you come to Church 101 today, you can hear even more about that, some of the theology behind what we're doing. It's very, very biblical, but we're going to be doing a series. It's actually a six-week series, and it's titled Four Cups. Now, figure that one out. We're going to do four cups, but we're going to do it in 6 weeks, all right? So we're actually talking about the promises of God. Everybody, God has a promise. He has a promise for your life, and he wants to deliver life to you. He wants you to walk that out, the promise, and be fulfilled in what he has for you, the destiny he has for you. And so we're going to set that up next week, and then the following week is actually Palm Sunday. We're going to talk about Christ, our Passover Lamb, and then Easter will actually be the first Sunday that we really get right into that first cup, and then the next 4 weeks we'll talk about the four cups. So instead of starting a series on Easter, we're actually going to be in the middle of a series come Easter. But I said all that to say that is really our vision, this series coming up, kind of spread out over several weeks. So, having said that, this is a great opportunity to invite people to get on board and understand what we're doing as a church and come in here with us. And I just want to encourage you, invite. In fact, right now, if you'd like to, just take out your phones and check into Crosspoint. That'll help us invite. That, you know, just spread the word. And I said that the other week, and everybody started, and it just kind of blew up. That's what we need, because we live in a different age today, all right? So I'm a guy that likes to go door-to-door to mailboxes, and this year we're actually going to let somebody else go door-to-door mailboxes. We have somebody that's helping us in the church being able to do a mailer that's going to go out. I've got another individual in the church that has talked to me about social media and how we need to really avail ourselves of that in trying to grow the church and just get the word out. And so we're going to be using all the tools that God's given us. Look, we're going to do everything we can short of sin to win people to Jesus, right? Because heaven is real and hell is real, and this is serious, and we need to fill up the house and fill up heaven. Can I get a good amen right there? And so this year has been an exciting year as we began. I believe I have never sensed as a pastor ever in all my years of ministry a year where there is so much unity. And I don't know what your church background has been and places you've been, but I'm telling you, that's a vital area that we need, a principle that we need in place, and that's unity, because God shows up where there is unity. And we've been talking about from the beginning of this year getting set free from the past so God can do a new thing. And I believe God has just given us a clean slate this year. In fact, talking about freedom, after this series that we're doing on the four cups, we're going to begin a series in Galatians, on the book of Galatians, about how God wants you to stay free. So we're planning on into the summer. We've got some great things. So I'm excited. But let's go on, get into today's message today about vision. And so we've got, there are some blank sheets you can take notes on, but really no fill-ins. But just take notes if you would. And Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, many people are familiar with this, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. Where there is no vision. And we hear that word vision, and sometimes we, you know, there's different ideas of what that really means and what that looks like for different people. But another translation of that, in the NIV, puts it this way: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. It goes on to say, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So there's a revelation that God wants to give us, okay? It's not our revelation, it's His revelation. It's not our idea, it's His idea that we want to tap into. Because when we do that, listen, it's going to bring even more unity, right? We're not going to be running in another direction. One translation said that people just run wild. And so we don't want to run wild. We want to be on the same page, going in the same direction. And what that's going to produce is peace. You're going to be blessed. Another version says you're going to be happy when you do that. And then here's another translation from the Message in Proverbs 29:18. It says that if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. So we want to attend, we want to follow, we want to do what God's called us to do. Another scripture I want to give you is found, as we just kind of give the foundation for this message, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now this is in the Living Bible, but it puts it this way: let there be real harmony among you, so there won't be any splits in the church. And Paul goes on to say, I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think of splits in the church. I think about, you know, like half the church going one direction and half the other going another direction. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't always manifest itself like that. Sometimes the splits are in the church, but they still stay in the church. And then it's an unhealthy church, and we're all just split. You know, we're all divisive and divided, and God says, I'm not a part of that. But where there's unity, God can do great things. And so Paul says, I plead with you, let there be real harmony. So in light of those scriptures, let me just lay out some things that are very foundational to us as a church. Again, today's going to be a little bit different, but I think this is really going to help us as a church to, again, stay very unified. I'm going to talk about vision, but I'm also going to talk about our values as well. And so those two go really hand in hand. Our values and our vision. Our vision, we've put it simply this way, and this is kind of a little cute thing here, but it's really more than just a cute little phrase. It actually has a lot of significance and meaning to that. And that is, number one, first of all, encounter the cross. We want people to encounter the cross. All right, so we want people to know God, simply put. So encounter the cross means we want you to come into a right relationship with Jesus and know who he is and be in relationship with him. It all starts there. And then another thing that we say is we want people to experience the change. Experience the change. So having met Jesus, having received Jesus, now we're following Jesus, and everything changes when that happens. So when you come to Christ, something changes, not externally first, but internally. The external will follow, but it happens on the inside. But as that happens, then the outside begins to go through a process of change. And so that change, oftentimes what we want that to look like for people is we want people to find freedom. We want people to find freedom. So they know God, but then they need to find freedom. And I'm not going to go too deep into this because that's what this next series is about. We're going to break this out more as we go on in this next series. The third thing is we want people to embrace the call. So we've received Jesus. Change is happening, but then there's a purpose that God has called us to in our life. And so we want to help you discover that and discover purpose. Fourth, we want to then engage the culture. So having received God, finding freedom, we're discovering purpose. Now we want to go make a difference in the world. And so our values here at Crosspoint are very much attached to this. In fact, if you don't even come back to Crosspoint, we hope that you do. But these are values, I believe, that will help you, not just as a church, but help you in your life, generally speaking. And so I believe that we need to get back to the basics and understand why we're here, what we're supposed to look like. My dad used to say to me when I was going out on a date, before, you know, when I was younger, he would say, "Don't forget who you are." And boy, that would ring in my ears the whole date. You know, I couldn't have any fun if I wanted to because my dad said, no. But I'm telling you, as a church, we need to remember who we are as a church. Don't forget who we are. But we've got to understand that will tell us we need to, it's not just about what we're doing, but it's about who we are. Who we are. I've heard it said this way, that culture trumps vision every time. And culture is really who we are as a church. It's our environment. It's who we are, who we are. You could be doing a lot of things, but you're not the right person on the inside. Something hasn't changed on the inside. None of that matters, right? Isn't that what the 13th chapter of Corinthians is talking about? You can do all these things, but you don't have love. You don't have the right motivation. It doesn't mean a thing. And so we need to understand that it's about who we are as a person. And as a pastor, I've realized this. And this I get from John Maxwell. I don't know if any of you know who John Maxwell is, a great leadership guy. And he says that as a pastor, you don't get who you want, you get who you are. And so you're going to multiply, you're going to reproduce who you are. And so we need to become the culture and embody the values that Christ, and that requires the work of the Holy Spirit to come on the inside and develop in us his spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit to become Christ-like so that we will become attractive to the world. In fact, we were talking about compelling people to come to the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us to compel them. And I've thought about that word compel. That means we need to be compelling. That means our life needs to be compelling. Or I should say, could use this word, attractive to people to come to Christ. Are we living our life in such a way that we are light, that we are salt, that we are making a difference and where God has called us to? And so another verse, and I won't give you the location of this, but we know this verse that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So that just bears out that same thing. So it's not just about what we do, but about who we are. And so we need to, and we come to know that by discovering who Jesus is and who we are in him. And so if you look at Jesus and you were to develop a list of adjectives to describe Jesus, as a church, we've come up with five adjectives that describe Jesus. And I want to share those with you. Number one, Jesus was authentic. He was authentic. Okay, he was real. He was the real deal. Number two, he was relevant, very relevant. He lived where people lived. Number three, he was enjoyable. He enjoyed life. Number four, he was accepting. He was accepting. The sinners came to him because he was accepting of them. He didn't accept their sin, but he accepted them. There's a difference, a big difference. And number five, he was powerful. That we must say about Jesus, he was powerful. Now, if we're to reflect Jesus and be the church that he's called us to be, then we need to embody those same attributes, right? We need to be have those same values as a church. And so if we're to look like Jesus, what does that look like? So let me break that out just a little bit. Jesus was authentic. You know, that means, as a pastor, I don't need, and I'm not trying to throw this off on anybody. This is just us we're talking about here, for us. But I don't need a special robe. I don't need a special parking place, right? I don't need to be all that in a bag of chips, because I'm not, all right? Okay? I need to be authentic. I need to be who God's called me to be, and be, right? Be myself, right? By the way, nobody can be a better you than you can, right? So we need to be authentic. We need to be genuine. Jesus, I believe he was authentic. He didn't talk above their heads like the religious crowd. He got down where they lived. He talked about the things of the day, fig trees and farming and planting. And he sat down with them on the boat. And he talked about sheep and goats. And, you know, now we talk about iPods and iPads and eyeballs. I don't know. But we talk, you know, we got to be relative to where people are and be real. So actually around here, we've tried to get rid of this language we call Christianese. You know, we're in 2016, so we don't speak in King James. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm DNA King James, trust me. I have to watch myself when I'm quoting another verse or reading another verse, because I immediately go to King James, because I grew up with King James. Nothing wrong with King James. But when I'm in the marketplace, workplace, I don't go, hey, would thou cometh over here if I need your help at this job? I don't do that. So we try to eliminate that because people don't connect, right? And we're trying to connect people to God. That's what Jesus did. He was authentic, and he wanted to connect people to God, right? So start where they are. And the other thing is be relevant. Relevant. So our messages, my messages that we share as a church, it should pass the who cares test. It should have something. There should be a takeaway, something that you can use not just Sunday morning, but that you can use Monday morning, right? And so we need to be relevant. And sometimes the way we've done things, again, I'm not disparaging any of that, but I think sometimes it was good for a certain season or a time frame. But right now, I think some people read into certain formats and formulas as very fake, okay? And so let's remove any obstacle we can to help people connect to God. Let's move every barrier we can that's keeping people from God, that's stumbling people, right? Come on. Well, one person agrees with that. So that means that for us, I love the Redback hymnal, but we don't have it, okay? All right? I'm just saying, we have guitars, all right? So, because it connects, right? Is this making any sense? Okay, I'm just saying. So we need to understand. That's what Jesus did. He was relevant. Another thing, he was enjoyable. Church should be enjoyable. Enjoyable. And so Jesus was enjoyable. He was a kid magnet. Kids came up to him, and they were climbing on top of Jesus. You know Jesus was enjoyable. Nobody's going to come up to a guy who's got a prune face, you know, looked like that artist drew him, you know, with a little curveball going and you sucked in cheeks. You know, I mean, that's not, no, Jesus was, you know, had candy in his pocket. You know, come on. You know he did. You know he did. Well, guess what? We should be enjoyable people. Hey, by the way, that isn't just for here. That's for tomorrow morning on the job. We should be enjoyable people that enjoy life. And so let's be a place of laughter. He was accepting. Sinners liked him. The religious people didn't like him. Okay? And to be honest with you, I just won't go there. There is a religious, maybe I will. There is a religious spirit sometimes that prevails on people. And I'm not saying that that's intentional. I think sometimes we've just been in this thing so long and it becomes a religion. It started out as a relationship, but then it becomes a religion and then it becomes a form. And the force is no longer there. This is not a Star Wars message. I'm just saying, okay? And it becomes just a formula, a format, and it's a religious thing. That's what happened to religious leaders. And Jesus, listen, it's not about religion. Religion's not going to get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus is what's going to get you to heaven. And we need a relationship with Jesus, all right? So we need to be accepting of people. Let me move on quickly because I got a lot more to cover. He was powerful. Jesus was powerful, right? And so on Sundays, it's not just about the phenomenal music and the phenomenal preaching. Okay, I always like to throw that in there just to get a laugh, you know. Okay, it's not about the lights. It's not about being cool. We're not just trying to be cool. Oh, we just want to be cool. We don't be a hipster. One of our guys in the band was, we were trying to encourage him to wear those skinny jeans, you know, so he could be a hipster, you know. But let me tell you, it's not about trying to be cool. You can have all of that, but if you don't have powerful, you don't have anything. So in every service, we want to have a moment where people will connect to a true and living God. And we were talking about the production meeting. Where do we think that moment is? You know, I mean, God's going to determine that. But where's that moment where somebody says, oh, God is real. God is real. And so we want to be able to connect people to a real, powerful, living God. And also in saying that, let me say, so we want to make sure there's no distractions that hinder people from connecting to God. So we don't want them just to connect to us or our style or what we're doing. We want them to connect to God. So we want people, when they leave this place, that they look, when they leave and they talk to you and you've invited your friend to church and you have a conversation after church and we want the question to be, can you tell me more about Jesus? Tell me about this Jesus. Instead of, what was that? What was she doing or he doing? So again, our focus is on the powerful work of God. So we want to remove every distraction so that people have an opportunity. We don't get in God's way. People have an opportunity to receive from him. Another thing about Jesus, he was generous. Jesus was incredibly generous. Generous. I'll be all right. Generous. I got a lot to cover. I'm trying to hurry. My son said, make it short today. I'm trying. He was generous. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's the attribute of God. He gave. We should be a generous people. We should give everything away. Be a giving church, all right? Give stuff. Be a culture of generosity. And so these five attributes is what Crosspoint is established on. But we've stated that in four values that I want to just spell out very quickly, and that is this. So let me break this in to this. And number one, and that is that we want to be a church that encounters God. Okay, I won't spend a lot of time on that, kind of, because I've sort of went through this already. But we want to be a church that encounters God. And that means each and every one of us need to encounter God. So our story needs to become my story. Okay, that's a series we're talking about, I'm looking at doing in June. It gives some opportunity for people up here to tell their story. Okay, because you need your own story. You don't need to be saying, well, my grandma, and back I remember when, and so-and-so, did you hear about their testimony? Hey, guess what? You need your own testimony. And by the way, you don't have to have this terrible, horrible past to have a testimony. If you know Jesus, you got a testimony. You know what your testimony is? You were dead and now you're alive. There's no greater testimony than that, right? And so we want everyone to encounter God. That's the most important thing, is to be able to encounter God. And so the importance of encounter is so great because of this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 with me. This is from the Message, but it says that whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. So God wants us to have this face-to-face relationship with him. And they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone, not a religious thing. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. And that doesn't mean the law doesn't apply. See, here's the difference. If we're following rules, we say, I got to follow these rules, we can't do it. But when we follow the Spirit and we're in love with Jesus, guess what? We want to do it. There's a difference. Because God changes us on the inside. And now it's not just a legislative, legalistic thing that we're trying to follow. No, it's now we're in love with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us and enables us. That's part of the definition of grace, is enabling power. It's not just unmerited favor. There's another definition. It says enabling power, and that is he enables us than to become like Christ. And day by day, we're being conformed to the image of God. Are y'all still with me? All right? So here's what we want. The importance of encounter is spelled out this way, and that is that we need power, not just words. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Right? Secondly, we need experience, not just explanation. Right? We need experience, not just explanation. The guy who was healed of his blindness, he had an experience. And the religious leaders were saying, well, tell us about this. And here's how he explained it. He said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I got an experience. I've experienced him. So we don't just need a debating explanation, whatever, talking point. We need an experience. And then we need the presence of God, not just the practice. So we need presence, not just practice. Acts chapter 2 says, You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Let me break out that second one. We need to enjoy life. My church enjoys life, okay? All right, so my church, right? Are we getting this? We encounter God. Number two, we enjoy life. I said it earlier, Psalm 122. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. All right? I don't believe church should be painful, okay? I mean, I understand conviction, that's one thing, but conviction is different than condemnation. We're not here to condemn people and point our finger at people. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes somebody aware of their need of Christ. I am not where I need to be, I need Jesus. There's a big difference, okay? But I don't believe church should be so heavy, I mean, finger pointing. Look, the kindness of God is what leads a sinner to repentance. I'm glad we're in unity on this, all right? Are you agreeing with me on this? Okay, so that means, excuse me, that means church should be enjoyable. Enjoyable. I mean, I think that we oftentimes think that when we surrender our life to Christ, it means that he's gonna make our life hard and boring and stale, and he's gonna call us to a mud hut in Africa. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know. We've oftentimes have presented it that way. You got to just give up everything. And let me tell you, anything you give up is not even worthy to be compared to what you're going to gain when you follow Christ, right? And so we want to be a church that enjoys life. John 10 and 10 says that the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have and enjoy life and that you may have it in abundance. That means to the full, to overflow. So having said that, here's what we believe. Now, some people might believe this is heresy, but we actually believe that church should be fun. We think it should be fun. I think church should have more jokes, more laughter. I mean, the world is hard out there, okay? I think when people come in here, it should be, I think when you come to church, it should be a celebration. I think it should be a greater celebration than Super Bowl Sunday, all right? Every Sunday should be a Super Bowl Sunday for Jesus, right? I long for the day when we have people lined up at that curtain waiting for that 5-minute countdown to start that just can't wait and come running in here because they want to get the best seat, right? And we want to get it to the front seat, not the back seat. And I'm not saying anything back there, all right? But I'm saying I pray that church is so enjoyable that that when we leave, we say, I got to wait 6 days to come back? Oh, come on now. Give me something in between time. All right, we got small groups for you. I'll talk about that in a minute. All right, but really, I want us to have a church that we enjoy church. I believe we should have ice cream and Cokes on the lawn, right? I believe we should have parties after church. I believe we should have, you know, we had cupcakes at Valentine's Day. We're going to have, and I've already told my wife, we're going through the grocery store today. I said, how about popsicles this Sunday? It's going to be warm enough. She said, well, let's wait. But I'm telling you, popsicles and ice cream sandwiches are on the way. Why are you doing that, Pastor? Because Jesus came that we may have life. You want to be attractive and be compelling? We need to be enjoying life. Jesus was, and people were attracted to him. Let me move on. I gotta skip stuff. So let me just, without giving you all these scriptures, that means just love life. Love life. Love life. I mean, we have a disposition of loving life. We go to work tomorrow, You know, if you have a true day of rest, and we've already talked about what the Sabbath means, to cease and rest, you need to go to work tomorrow refreshed and come in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. So it says, what happened to you? I've been to church. You know? Right? Right? Okay. So, love life. Love people. Love people. Love people. Love people. Why did, I don't know why, but Jesus actually had to make a commandment out of this. I mean, you'd think he wouldn't, but he did. He made it a commandment. He said, okay, you're not getting this. I'm commanding you. You got to love one another. And then he says, but I've told you this, in John 15, 11, he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. There's a reason for that. It's going to free you up. You're going to experience the joy of life. And most importantly, love God. Love God. And Ecclesiastes, I love this. And chapter 2 says this, because no one can eat or enjoy life without him, right? My church, number 3, we empower people. We empower people, okay? So let me tell you why this is a huge value. I'm pausing because I'm skipping some stuff because I got to. As a church, in the past, and I've already alluded to this, it's oftentimes a one-man show. I'm going to tell you, that's unbiblical. It's just unbiblical. We all become the priesthood of Christ as we follow him, right? We all have a ministry. We all have a purpose. We all have something to do that God's called us to do. It's not just me. I just feel one certain role as his under-shepherd, shepherding you to enable you to do what God's called you to do. And we believe that we are a people that's called to empower people. And so, can I tell you that I'm the pastor. Now, some of you say, well, no, you're the preacher. You're the preacher. No, you're the preacher. You're the preacher. The Bible says that they went everywhere and preached everywhere. You're the preacher. I'm here to pastor you and help you and enable you. And, yeah, I'm here to deliver the message and deliver God's word. And, yeah, I preach. And I try to not make it sound too preachy, really, honestly. But you're the preacher. God's called you. And our church is oriented to empower you to do ministry, all right? I'll break that down in a minute because I got to hurry. Number 4, we exist for others. Exist for others. If you don't get this, you don't get this church. We are a church that does not exist for ourselves. And all that sounds good, but I'm going to tell you, it's not always easy because there's a gravitational pull that works on all of us that says, okay, now meet my needs, meet my needs. Here's what I pray as a pastor. I pray we develop a culture that we are self-feeders. We are self-feeders. Live in the Word every day. I got a small group that we're meeting on Tuesdays at 6 a.m. I love that. 6 a.m., these guys are showing up. We got full retention, y'all. At 6 a.m. in the morning, that's some guys. That's some leaders right there. But we've been encouraging them, Pastor Steve and I've been encouraging them, hey, get into the Word every day. Take the Bible app. Steve called us the Bible app group this past week because we just take that verse of the day because I'm trying to orient these guys. Get in the Word every day. And I'm not putting this off on you, but for me, what I do during the week, I'm able to listen to stuff as I work. And so, man, I've been living in the Word. I mean, I'm in May in my daily Bible reading. It's awesome. I'm just saying. That's the truth. But I'm telling you, get in God's Word and understand that feed yourself, right? Because, listen, God has called us to not just drink milk forever, but God wants us to eat some meat and get out and not just be the ones just receiving. I'm a baby, feed me. I don't mean that to be insultive, but just give me some. No, we need to get to the point where then we're taking and we're ministering to others and we're feeding and we're existing for others. So as a church, on Sunday mornings, we determine that it's not about us. It's about the ones who hasn't heard. It's for new people. It's for the one that's unchurched, the one that is far from God that we're going to draw closer to God. We exist for others. And so there's 3 fundamental reasons why we are to be we are blessed to be a blessing. Some scripture from that. I won't give it to you because I don't have time. You can get the notes from me later. Number 2, we will bless. When we bless others, God takes care of our needs, right? We take care of God's business, He'll take care of our business. Number three, we're more blessed by God the more He expects us to help others. So the more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to bless others. So to whom much is given, much is required, right? And so God will use us to the degree of how He can entrust us that we're going to be responsible to take that and to bless others, right? Right? So we need to be a blessing to others. Our life needs to be oriented to others. And when we do that, I'm going to tell you, God's going to meet your needs. When you become a conduit through which He flows to others, guess who it comes through? God's blessing you in the process, right? And so God wants to use you to be a blessing to others. And we live in a very selfish, individualistic society today. And that's not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a giving, give it away, minister others. And I want to tell you, your life will never be the same until you discover the importance of ministering to others. And there's a hierarchy of human needs I discussed some while back. Even psychologists will tell you that the greatest pinnacle of human satisfaction is when you are living your life, making a difference in the life of somebody else, right? So we exist for others. So I'm trying to hurry here. All right. Y'all know that. You got that part. All right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. When I was called to preach at the age of 16 years old, that was the verse God used to just ignite His call in me. God's called us to go to them, to take it to the street. And so how does this play out? Let me give you this to pull this all together. Let me just give you this one. How do we do this? Let's go back to what we talked about at the very beginning. Throw that up there for me there, that first one, if you've got that. All right? Know God. All right? We want to encounter the cross. Are you with me? There we go. We want to encounter the cross, and that is that we want to know God. Did you get that last one there? And that means that we want, how do we do that? How do we do that? All right? Sunday mornings is all about this one right here. So they say in America that like 85% of people come to Christ in the context of a Sunday morning service. Okay? Now God could save anybody anywhere, Walmart, all right? But in America, studies show that most people come to Christ in this kind of setting. So that means Sunday morning is all about the lost. All right? So we want to make sure that, I mean, we're going to cover a lot of topics and we're going to take care of different needs and things going on, but at the end of it all, our number one goal on Sunday mornings is to win people to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you don't have a right relationship with Him, I want to tell you, all this is about us helping you connect to who He is, all right? So knowing God. The second thing is to experience the change. And so we want people to find freedom. How does that happen here at Crosspoint? Through this thing that we call small groups. Small groups. Because we believe this, that life change happens in the context of relationships. So we cannot do everything on Sunday morning, okay? You're not going to get your whole life solved in an hour and 10 minutes on Sunday mornings, all right? So we want to get you in a small group and so you can get a relationship with somebody that you can take the mask off, you can be comfortable enough to take the mask off, at least with one person that you can get close enough to and say, can I tell you something I haven't told anybody? And that's where real healing and that's where real freedom begins to happen in small groups. We got small groups already underway right now, just started. You can jump in now. You can go online. We got a directory on there on our website and find you a small group. Call that leader up. Talk to them. See if there's a connection there. See if that's a small group for you. And if we don't have the small group you're looking for, hey, start one. We'll connect you with Pastor Steve, and he'll give you one session training on how you can lead a small group, right? Be a part of that, okay? Find freedom. Number three, embrace the call. We want people to discover purpose. For us, how do we do that? Growth track. Get on the growth track. It's fun. Okay, I'm telling you, we make everything fun around here. It's fun. And get on the growth track and get involved in that, and we're going to help you discover the gifts that God has given you and how that plays out, okay? And so God's redeemed you, but what has he called you for? We're going to help you discover the growth track. Number four, engage the culture. Engage the culture. So we want everybody to make a difference. How do we do that? Okay, go through the growth track and then get on the dream team. Get on the dream team where you're serving. I want to tell you, if you do this, come on, give me 1 year of your life. Do this. Run the play, right? Play the full game, right? And you're going to see at the end of it all, life is going to be different for you. Things are going to change. Here's what I've discovered as a pastor. You can't solve everybody's problems. I would love to solve all your problems, okay? But when we solve one problem, if we can solve one problem, guess what? Another problem is going to pop up. So the answer is not in solving problems. The answer is to give you something bigger than your problems. And we tell you, when you give something bigger to live for than yourself, bigger than your problems begin to fade and begin to melt away, right? And you begin to gain perspective of what this thing is really all about. Some people are so covered up with problems, they say, I can't help somebody. I got so many problems of myself, of my own. If I could just get out from under this problem, that's a trick of the enemy. The trick of the enemy wants to put a ditch in your path to keep you from the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Well, I want to tell you, if you understand this principle, we want you to know God. We want you to find freedom, right? We want you to discover purpose and make a difference. And when you get to that stage of making a difference, I want to tell you, things are going to change in your life. Today, as a church, let me just emphasize this main point again, and that is that our most important thing is that people come to know God. Now, if you already know God, once you cross that finish line, cross that line of salvation, it no longer becomes about you, it becomes about the next one, right? But if you haven't crossed that line, if you're still at that point where you haven't crossed that line of faith to accept Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, it's all about you. It's all about you. And maybe you're here today and you know that there's some things in your life, you're just not in right relationship with Him. And maybe not intentionally, but you've fallen into a form and there's no more of that intimate relationship with the Lord. Can I tell you that God wants to have an intimate relationship with you? And he wants your life to be full. And he wants you to experience peace. And it doesn't come by you trying to solve all your problems and put it all together first. It comes by knowing him, the Prince of Peace. He comes and he begins on the inside and gives you peace. And then he begins to walk you day by day and a path of peace as you follow him. Would you bow your heads with me? Today I just want to give an opportunity for those of you that need to cross that line of faith, to say, I'm ready today to take that step, Pastor. I'm ready today to surrender my life to Jesus because my way is not working. I'm not experiencing peace that you're talking about. My life's not full. My life's full of turmoil and chaos and drama. And I got issues, Pastor. And there's some things that holding me in my past that's hanging on and driving me crazy. But I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm willing today to take a step and to follow Christ and to let him lead my life into a place of peace. If that's you today, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I would like to just right where you're seated, between you and God, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. It'd be your prayer, but I just want to help you with the words today. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, as you pray that prayer of commitment, of surrender, I'm ready to do that. I'd like you just, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you just slip up a hand? I'd just like to know who I'm praying with. You can just slip it up and put it right back down. God bless you today. Proud of you. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, would you count me in that prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Our heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Those of you that raise your hands, let me lead you in this prayer. Just right where you're seated, from your heart. You can whisper it if you want to. Say it out loud or you just say it sincerely from your heart, but just mean it. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. I thank you for taking the huge leap from heaven to earth for me. Today, I take a step of faith towards you. By faith, I receive you now. I accept that you died on the cross for my sins, that I may know you. Come into my life. I surrender my life. Come on, say this. Say, I give you my life. Make me brand new on the inside. Give me peace. Make my life count. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me.